We're entering the sixth day of a blackout in Kashmir, a complete shutdown on all communications imposed by Narendra Modi, the Hindu nationalist prime minister of India. There is no fighting between India and Pakistan. Pakistan ruled out military action yesterday. But the blackout alone has terrorized Kashmir, a territory that's majority Muslim, and also raised questions around the world about what it means to regulate communications. David Kaye is the UN Special Rapporteur on Freedom of Opinion and Expression. Let's start with what's happening in Kashmir, a complete communications blackout. How concerned are you?
No, I'm very concerned. I mean, I would put it in two different contexts. One context is that governments around the world have been increasingly using their power over telecommunications and the internet simply to shut down the accessibility of the internet, of mobile communications and other sources for several years, and it's been only getting worse. In the context of Kashmir, the issue today is that India has not only shut down the internet, but has really put a blackout on all communications in and out of Kashmir.
I mean, I think of recent communications blackouts in Sudan, but that was a government trying to stop protests from being organized. It's oppressive for sure, but it did follow a pattern. Is there a precedent for what's happening in Kashmir?
You know, I've been trying to think about different precedents here. It's certainly clear that, like Sudan, in this particular case, it seems that India was acting in a way to actually preempt the ability of Kashmiris to engage in public protest. That kind of activity is not, unfortunately, is not abnormal these days. The difference here is just the extent and the nature of this total shutdown. It's really quite unusual for a country that portrays itself as the world's largest democracy to do this kind of thing.
Do Kashmiris have any other options at this point?
Well, this is where it's been very troubling. It's been very hard to get information out of Kashmir. Kashmiris have very limited options for communications once the government has interfered with the telecommunications so severely. In fact, it's been very hard to get information from people on the ground in Kashmir. Many, many people, if not most people, cannot get access even to tools like Twitter, which is a real important tool for many people in Kashmir in terms of their organizing, their communications. It's even been extraordinarily difficult for people outside of Kashmir to be in touch with their families. So this has been quite a draconian approach to communications by the Indian government.
And it was enacted so quickly. Could this happen so easily elsewhere?
I think it could, unfortunately. Other countries could easily do this, in particular because they have the power over the telecommunications networks. I mean, they have contractual arrangements with them, and we've seen this in many, many parts of the world.
Could it happen here in the United States?
Well, it certainly could happen. I don't know if it would be as technically possible because of the extent of our telecommunications network and the constitutional issues and so forth. But certainly the technical power to interfere with communications is there.
David Kaye, I'd also like to ask you about, since you're the UN Special Rapporteur on Free Speech, about hate speech and specifically 8chan. That's the internet platform where the El Paso gunman uploaded his manifesto before killing 22 people. And that manifesto got rapidly reproduced on 8chan. 8chan got kicked off Cloudflare, its host, but the killer's manifesto is still out there. How do we go about regulating something like 8chan? Where do we even begin?
It's very difficult to regulate any of these platforms by government, particularly in the United States. I mean, in the United States, we have the First Amendment, and there's also human rights protections. Human rights law protects everyone's right to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas of all kinds. Typically speaking, if we're talking about incitement to violence and incitement to hatred, that's relatively easy to regulate in the sense that government has the authority to restrict incitement to violence. Beyond that, it's very difficult. We're also, I think, at a moment where we're confused about who should be responsible for regulating that content. Should it be the companies that have massive power over public debate and are making a lot of money in gathering up all of our content? or should it be government that has government and public accountability at stake here? I don't think we've fully come to terms with how we want to regulate this kind of content.
David Kaye is the UN Special Rapporteur on Freedom of Opinion and Expression. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Marco.